They want me to get rid of my dog. Can they do that?
I'm being fined for leaving my garage door open too long.
What are covenants? Do I have any rights?
Help, I feel like I've left the American zone.
If you want the answers to those questions, join me, Sue Bartholomew, and my guests on The Commons every Saturday from 2 to 3 right here on WBR Fairfax Radio. We'll ask the experts and we'll untangle the truth about what's left of our property rights.
This is On the Commons with your host, Sue Bartholomew. On the Commons is a weekly radio show dedicated to discussing the many issues surrounding mandatory membership homeowners associations. Join us as we explore this relatively new world of controlled living, which includes condominiums, cooperatives, and both attached and detached single-family homes. Living in a common ownership development means giving up the American dream. It means giving up your constitutional rights and control over your most valuable asset, your home. Living in a homeowners association means leaving the American zone. WBR Fairfax Radio, you're on the Commons. I'm Sue Bartholomew, and joining me on the Commons today, we have just one of those isolated incidents that we're told so often don't happen, and they're just isolated incidents. What can I tell you? Today's isolated incident is from Texas. In fact, we will be in Texas all day today. We will be talking to someone else a little later on. But joining me right now is Tu Nguyen. Tu, I know I'm probably not pronouncing your name properly, so would you please tell us what your name is properly and also tell us, introduce yourself to our listening audience.
Hi, my name is Tu Nguyen. And I am 25 years old, Vietnamese American. I am disabled. I live in Texas, Dallas, Texas, and I am a very happy person. but this ordeal has, you know, put me through a lot of struggles and made my life much harder.
So you're only 25?
Yes, ma'am.
And you're in a wheelchair?
Yes, ma'am.
And you are from Vietnam?
Yes, ma'am.
And you came to this country for the good life?
For the most wonderful life that everybody wants to live.
And you're a happy person, but you ended up in a homeowners association, and so your struggles are not over. You had quite a lot to tell me last night when I talked to you about the problems that you're dealing with. Tell us a little bit about what's going on. I know that you painted your fence. God forbid that you should paint your fence a color that is not approved by the gods of color out there in Texas, right?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. Go ahead. Tell us a little bit about it.
Okay. The story was when we first bought our home in the new subdivision about seven years ago. And my parents, you know, most, I guess even Americans, doesn't even know what HOA is.
You're right.
And no, they don't even have any idea what HOA is and what they do and what they're supposed to do, what they're not supposed to do. So my parents and I decided to paint our fence green. And a couple of years later, we got a letter from HOA say, hey, you broke the rules.
Hey,
you know,
wait a minute. So you painted your fence green, but you didn't hear from the association for 2 years?
Yes.
So for two years you lived in peace and harmony?
Yes, ma'am. And because they keep changing management company, and they keep coming out with new, CC cars. So after, I guess, the new management company took over, they had new CCRs. so they thought that, you know,
did
we
you
broke
vote
the rule.
On these? Did you vote on these CCNRs too?
Truthfully, to tell you, there's no point.
No. Wait a minute. They cannot amend the CCNRs unilaterally. They cannot. Management companies cannot do that. It should be put. It should be put to the homeowners. And the homeowners are the only ones who can change the CCNRs. Was it put to a vote of the homeowners?
The reason I said that, because we did vote on certain things and nothing, you know, nothing came back, nothing in response. Nothing.
Wait a minute. Say that again.
You know, we did vote for a lot of things.
Okay.
But whatever we voted, it didn't really work. So the board, you know, they pretty much do whatever they want, and all the people on the board are, you know, pretty much do whatever they want. Cause we did try to vote, to have, like a playground for the kids and swimming pool, clubhouse, stuff like that. But we, the result came out that we won the vote, but then they came back and said to us, you know, after all the planning and, you know, calculating, we don't think we should have, you know, a clubhouse. So, you know, and all the money we paid.
So basically what you're saying is that regardless of the votes and regardless of what the homeowners want, it's the board or the management company that's making the ultimate decision. So you're saying your vote is not worth anything. Is that what you're saying?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay.
Because, you know, we all also vote for the model home to be removed. Because according to their rule, CCRs, after all the lots are sold, the model home has to be moved away. But then the model home is, until today, after 7 years, the model home is still in my subdivision because they just opened up a new subdivision down the street, and they use that model home to sell other lots in the new subdivision, which is against the law, the rules. But, you know, they do whatever they want. And they broke more rules than we do, and they, you know, they, I guess they apply all these rules, you know, little rules on us, and they don't even apply, you know, important rules. So to me, you know, it's like living in, you know, tyranny.
Let's get back to your fence. What happened? You get a letter saying that your fence is the wrong color and you've got to change the color, right?
Yes, ma'am.
And what happened then?
Well, you know, after we, before I was young, and I didn't know anything about HOA. And so, you know, they sent us letters, and my parents, of course, they couldn't read English a lot. So we didn't know that, you know, HOA was sending us letters, and we thought it was trash, you know, like advertisement companies or whatever.
Oh, yeah, okay. Did anyone come to your door and say, Mr. and Mrs. Nguyen, we have a problem here?
Yes, this is a very, very, funny part too, because the president of my, the president of the HOA lives maybe 4 or 5 houses down from my house, but he had never came by to say anything. Never came by, and he knows that, you know, I'm in wheelchair, my family, we struggle a lot. So, and he never came by to say anything or to even offer help, you know, which, you know, that's what they're supposed to do. You know, the board is supposed to help the neighbors.
I think you've got it all wrong, Nguyen. I don't think they don't help. I mean, they're just they're just there and on their own ego trips. Not all of them. I shouldn't say that. Not all of them. But you're right. I mean, they could stop by and they could say, look, you know,
yes,
we have
a problem here. Just
a
spirit, you know, in a spirit of neighbors, you know, discrimination is hard to prove, hard to feel, and hard to see, but you can tell. You can tell when, you know, or you can feel, and you can tell when, you know, when you feel that, when there's just discrimination, but you cannot prove it.
So you feel that you're being discriminated against?
Yes, of course, and I cannot prove that, but I can tell and I can feel that. Because, you know, I don't think it's even the color of the fence. It might be the color of our skin. You know, what if it was somebody else that lived there and painted their fence? I think, you know, the boar would have came by and, you know, say, hey, you know, this is against the rules and, you know, we can help you remove the paint or repaint the fence. I think that would happen if it was, you know, like a white family or, you know.
I wouldn't hold my breath, Sue. I really wouldn't because, it doesn't matter. They go after, you know, they go after, they'll send these threatening letters because, you know what, it's the attorney career building act, if you will, because the attorneys then start to get involved and they start churning fees. And but you're right. I mean, there's no reason if the president is a neighbor of yours and they know that you're from Vietnam and they know that you have problem with the language, and they know your parents don't read English and understand English, then there's no reason why they can't come by and say, look,
the majority of the people in our neighborhoods are immigrants. We have Vietnamese, we have Chinese, we have Cambodians, a lot of Asians and a lot of Middle Eastern people live there. So that's why the board is abusing their power because, you know, we don't even know what they do and who they are. And, I mean, we really don't have any idea. And, you know, we came over here to this dreamland and to, you know, just to have a better life, to have our own house, our dream house. You know, so we work our butts off every day, 10, 12 hours, and, you know, to invest everything into our home. And now, you know, just this group of people can just, you know, take everything away that, you know, we've been earning so hard, which against everything that this country has taught me. You know, this country has taught me a lot of wonderful things, common sense, everything. And that is why, you know, I'm fighting for this because I know this country has taught me better than this.
And how long have you been in this country too?
I've been in this country since 1994. So it's been, 14 years.
So you were a little boy when you came here.
Yes, ma'am. And so I pretty much live in two different societies with two different policies, but it almost feels like I'm living back in Vietnam right now because, you know, the policies that the HOA is using, it's just, you know, exactly, I want to say same principle, but in different form. The communists use bullet and gun. Now these people use the paper and pen to take away everything.
Are they trying to foreclose on you?
Yes, ma'am. They, their lawyers have filed a lien already. And this, I guess the next step is foreclosure.
Have you contacted your legislators?
Ma'am, I've contact, I've contacted everyone, the media, the mayor, everyone, the senators,
Who's your senator?
Right now I can't think of her name.
Can you email it to me?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay.
I can. I even wrote a letter to Mr. Gilbert Vo. He's a Vietnamese House of Representatives down in Houston, and hoping that, you know, he can help us change the law, because he fought for the Vietnamese community for a long time now. And so I'm just hoping for the best. And I have the list of sins that the HOA has committed. And I think the biggest sin that they have committed is they have turned lawyers and lawmakers into killers, subconsciously, unawarely. Because how can you, you know, put a lawyer into a situation where he can foreclose someone's home and taking away everything? Imagine if right now they foreclosed my home, where are we going to live? And, you know, I don't know how can these, you know, so very educated people cannot think of the consequences that, you know, that they're doing. It's just ridiculous, you know.
And it's all because of a green fence.
Yes, all over the green fence. And they sent us.
What do they want you to paint the fence?
They said an earth tone color. What is earth tone color? Is green not an earth color? You know, how can they not be specific of what they want when they want us to do something? So
basically they just say that it's an earth tone, and you're saying that green is an earth tone because green is part of the
grass
earth.
Grass is green, trees are green, you know, that's the most natural color on earth.
So in Vietnam, green is an earth tone.
Yes, and you know, we have freedom of speech, freedom of expression. You know, sentimental value has to be protected. And, you know, green has a lot of sentimental values to us. So how come, you know, the Constitution, 220-something years of Constitution has been destroyed by this people? And none of the official, you know, is doing anything. And they know that, you know, the Constitution has been violated. And, you know, I came to think that immigrants like us, we know about Constitution and civil rights, you know, more than average American, because we have to take 100-something questions of the citizenship test to get the citizenship. So, you know, we know exactly, about, you know, we know a lot about, you know, constitutional stuff. Because we have to learn.
So, and you're saying that Americans don't learn it in school. Is that what you're saying?
What is it, ma'am?
Americans don't learn all about the Constitution in school, right?
Yes, pretty much. Because when I came here, I was in fifth grade. And from fifth grade until I graduated, we didn't talk much about, you know, the Constitution.
So you had to learn all about this on your own when you prepared to take the citizens test.
Yes, ma'am, and I help my parents, and I help, you know, my family. We go over those questions a lot. So it's pretty much just common sense, really.
Mm-hmm.
You know, all the good things, that's what the Constitution is. It's all about the good things that, you know, it's for protecting the people, protecting their rights, and all that stuff. It's very simple.
Chu, before we go any further, I just want to say that I'm planning on having a Rate Your Legislator section on my website. And what this will do is that people from all over the country can write in and they can say, send me the information. They can say, I live in Texas and my senator is, or my representative is, or a representative. It doesn't have to be yours, but, you know, here are the following legislators who basically blew me off, did not respond, they lied to me, they, you know, all of that. And these are the ones who were the most helpful. So we're going to rate them. We're going to put them up there and we're going to say, okay, you know, these are good legislators and these are not so good legislators.
You know,
so I would really appreciate it, too, if you would send me a list of all the people that you contacted, whether they responded to you or not.
Yes.
And just let me have that information. Would you do that for me?
Yes, ma'am, I would, definitely. And,
you
know, when I sent a letter to our mayor.
Yes.
And I know, of course, that, you know, the mayor didn't personally read all of the emails, maybe her assistant or someone.
Yes.
And, you know, when they called me back, the best answer that they gave me was, oh, this is a civil case. You know, contact your lawyers. You know, that's the best advice that they could give me. And they can't understand that we're in the middle of a lawsuit already and almost to foreclosure. So, and
contact,
I thought about it.
Contact Fair Housing. And I told you yesterday when I talked to you, and for the rest of you, if you're being harassed, if you feel that you're being discriminated against, check your state statutes, find out what groups are protected, and then go to fairhousing.com, look under your state. It will have a whole listing of the agencies in your state. Now, the agencies will be broken up by private or government. Forget the government. Don't even bother with the government. Go to the private. It is not going to cost you any money. It is, these agencies are funded by HUD. And they're there to protect your rights. There are laws on the books that say you cannot discriminate against people. Now what happens is if you say you're being discriminated against and they start looking into it too, they'll decide if there is evidence or if they feel there's enough evidence to believe that there is discrimination. If they decide that they will take the case and if they decide they will investigate, what happens is they'll notify the association. At that point, everything should stop while they conclude whether or not you're being discriminated against. So all the fines, all the threats, all of that will come to a screeching halt. It should come to a screeching halt. If it doesn't, you let me know.
Yes.
Okay?
And
do we have
more time?
I'm sorry?
Do we have more time?
We have a few more minutes.
Okay, I want to
five minutes.
One thing that I want to talk about is, you know,
all right, go ahead.
It's almost like we paying the HOA to have our life, you know, for them. It's like how could I put this? You know, it's not, we didn't sign the paper to have our life destroyed, and it's almost like we've been paying an assassin to come after us. And I don't want to put it in the harsh, you know, way like that, but that's how I feel. You know, it's like you pay this group of people just to destroy your life. And, you know, it's literally like that, which is outrageous. And it's over the limit. I'm speechless and, you know, everything. And
it's a nightmare, right?
Huh?
It's a nightmare.
Yes, ma'am. Many, many nightmares I've been through. Instead of, you know, going to therapy, exercise, and I have to deal with all these people. I couldn't sleep many, many nights because, you know, I grew up, you know, in a very, very good family, educate a family. And, you know, I just want to help my family with everything I can. So, you know, I have to put away everything just to get my family out of the, you know, this trouble. And hopefully in the future, I can get a lot of family, I mean, completely every family out of this trouble.
You told me, too, yesterday that you're going to dedicate your a portion of your life to protecting people from homeowners associations. Are you still planning
portion,
on doing that?
Yes, portion, quote, unquote. Portion means, you know, since I'm like 3/4 paralyzed, so I only have 1/4 of, you know, my body left, and I would love to dedicate this 1/4 of my body left and to fight for, you know, basic rights. And
I've got to tell you something, too. You've got more of your body left than a lot of able people out there. You have got a mind that is amazing.
Because I believe, you know, I believe in, you know, God and, you know, Creator and everything. And that's the only reason why I keep fighting and fighting, even though I should have, you know, I should be doing something else that benefits me instead of, you know, doing all of these crazy work.
Well, do you have a job? Can you work?
I would want to, love to work, but since I, you know, I can't really do a lot and I don't want to mess up any work and get myself in trouble. The most ultimate goal is I want to help people. I want to help people to see the truth. Have you noticed that, you know, maybe when you lay in your bed at night and thought about, are we living a lie now? It's almost like we're living a lie today. And every day we're living a lie. And no one really realized that. Because you're too busy. And that's one of the, you know, tactic that the HOA use. Because you're too busy to deal with them. And there are too many processes and too many steps to go through to deal with them. How can you, you know, quit your job and deal with them? You know, how can you stop working, you know, for 8 hours, deal with them? And that's one of their tactics. And, you know, I know all of these because, yes, you know, we live with the, you know, under communism for 30 years, more than 30 years now. So I know, you know, the tactics and I guess, you know, the conspiracy that they're, you know, that they're using. It's, you know, it's very, very obvious what they're trying to do. It, you know, HOA could be so simple and I am all for it if they just do their things, you know, don't violate, you know, people's rights. I'm fine with it. Thanks for, you know, making our neighborhood looks nice. You know, thanks for cutting, mowing the lawn, planting trees, all of that. You know, I'm thankful for that. But hey, you know, don't get into, you know, people's personal stuff. You know, that's their personal stuff, you know.
Stay out of my home, yeah.
Yes.
Thank you so much for joining me today, too. I really appreciate having you come on and talk about what you're going through. Don't forget to send me a list of your legislators, and we'll put them up on the website. That's one way to keep them honest, I think.
Yes, ma'am, and I wish we could have more time because I have the whole list of sins.
You have a whole list of sins. Well, maybe we'll do it again sometime, too, okay?
I would be happy to, and I hope that a lot of people, you know, tune in today, and I want to thank everyone for tuning in today and hope them the best of life.
Thank you so much, too.
And thank you to you most.
Okay, too. We'll talk to you later.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. WEBR Fairfax Radio, you're on the Commons. I'm Shu Bartholomew, and joining us right now, we have Dr. Thomas Ellis, also from Texas. Tommy, thank you so much for joining us. Would you please tell us a little bit about yourself and What problems you're having?
excuse me. Well, I'm an engineer. I moved and bought a condo near downtown Dallas just about 2.5 to 3 years ago now. It was an apartment building that was being converted into condos by a developer. And since the developer has pulled out, the local board of directors has taken over the HOA, and some of the issues that have come up are just going, they're not being resolved, and things are getting worse as opposed to getting better, which is what you would expect when the developer leaves the complex and the homeowners actually get to take over.
But that didn't happen.
No. It actually got worse.
When did the homeowners take over?
I think it was about a year ago.
A year ago?
Just about. The developers are still partially here, and they're in the final stages of resolving the transition where the homeowners take complete responsibility for the building. But the board of directors has been in charge for a year now, made up of homeowners, as opposed to made up of the developer people.
One of the issues in your case is that you were targeted after you tried to point out that there were some issues and some problems and violations with the code, right? I mean, everything was okay until you said, hey, are you going to fix this?
Yeah, it turns out that there are some building code requirements when you install flooring in a high-rise. The building code, it's a nationally adopted code that has requirements on how much acoustical insulation, how much the sound gets suppressed from one unit to the other.
Oh.
Clear from things like people walking on hardwoods with high heels or hard shoes. And when the developer installed the flooring on the unit above me, which was about a year ago, maybe a year and a half ago at this point, before that, it was still an apartment rented out to people with carpeting down, and I never heard anything from any of them. But as soon as the developer finished remodeling and the people moved in upstairs, it was pretty clear that there was a serious problem with the flooring. It sounds pretty much like someone smacking my ceiling with a small hammer every time the owner walks around in high heels, which is every day in my case. So I did the research and I actually did some measurements on the sound levels and talked to the manufacturer of the materials used, and everyone is in agreement, including the city, that the building code isn't being met. And I brought that to the attention of the board roughly a year ago. And for probably 6 months, they simply insisted that the city code doesn't apply, which I thought was kind of odd since I had a letter from the city that I handed them telling them that the city code did actually apply and that the building wasn't grandfathered under anything.
Did the city bother to inspect it while it was being built?
No, not all aspects of the building code are ones that require inspections. But luckily the city law clearly specifies that although not all projects require a permit, all projects are required to meet all of the building codes, not just the ones that get inspected.
So why are we paying taxes to the city if they're not bothering to make sure that the codes or the laws that they adopt are not being followed? I mean, you know, because these developers are going to get away with whatever these developers can get away with, right?
Well, yes, they are, and that's a problem. To some degree, the city can inspect everything that ever gets remodeled in the city, and that part's understandable. Some concerns I have now with the whole process is that once someone raises a legitimate concern, the city does not appear to be all that willing to step in and act. Whereas if it's you can see news stories where if a very, very large fine is available to the city for a city violation, then they readily, head right down and issue the citation.
Good point, Tommy.
I mean, in the same way that red light cameras aren't installed on intersections in order to preserve public safety, they're installed to make money.
That's true.
If they were installed to preserve public safety, then people getting tickets would have to go to court to fight them, not have their credit histories affected instead.
Is that what's happening now?
Yes. The towns and municipalities, at least in Dallas, you can't fight the ticket in the same way and go to court. If you don't pay the ticket, an officer hands you, get a summons to go to court. If you don't pay the red light tickets, they simply send you a letter threatening to affect your credit.
That's absurd.
That's absurd.
That's absolutely absurd.
So the city issue is separate. I'm trying to convince them that it's in everyone's best interest to enforce the code. One way or the other, it will have to be resolved sometime soon. It's a problem for me because I work at home, and I have since last December. And I literally have to leave my home office for 45 minutes to an hour every morning to keep from going absolutely crazy listening to this pounding for 30 or 40 minutes every day, 5 days a week. So, I mean, and that doesn't count the nights that I get woken up at 2 in the morning when they come home, or when I want to have friends over to watch football games. You can't do it because you have no idea whether or not the owner upstairs is going to be walking around and drowning out the TV.
So it's a real problem.
Yes. And again, I've discussed it with some of the other people in the building, and they have similar complaints, and they've gotten just about as far as I have with the board in trying to get them resolved.
So the board then to address your issue, then they seem to adopt rules that you cannot run your dishwasher after 9 p.m.? I mean, doesn't the click-clacking on hardwood floors above you constitute a quiet time?
Yes, I would think so. I brought that issue up, and in our homeowners, in our documents, that the bylaws and the declarations, they have a line item that says the board is responsible for enforcing any kind of ongoing nuisance and resolving those issues. But the board, in my case, doesn't feel as though it's an issue.
Unbelievable. They come up with a rule that says you've got to, you can't run your dishwasher. The other thing that you talk about is that they, you know, when you raised the issue, you obviously were targeted. So the board hired, you said, the board hired an attorney to fight you over it?
I talked back and forth only through emails with the management company and had requested to meet in person with the board because I assumed that once I showed them what the problem was and my measurements and all the information that they would immediately get the problem fixed.
Very funny.
Well, I mean, I honestly thought that they would want to help. But after 6 months of going back and forth through emails and getting nowhere, I became more and more insistent, and after arguing back and forth and through emails with the property management that took over, they finally agreed to sit down and meet with me, and this was 6 or 8 months into it. And the meeting, actually, all it was them giving me 5 minutes to say whatever it is I want to say. In that meeting, I handed them all of my documentation, and I handed them two different letters from the city inspectors telling that the building codes were enforced and that everything must be compliant with this particular part of the building code. And I set them on the handed them to the board. The attorney picked them up, handed them back to me, and said that the building code doesn't apply, that the management's engineers have told them that the city code isn't enforceable or it doesn't apply to the building because the building was grandfathered, and that there was nothing that they could do.
Who's the attorney?
The firm is Riddle & Williams.
Riddle & Williams? Okay.
They had already spent a significant amount of money with the attorney before they even sat down to listen and look at the documentation I had.
So the attorney never looked at the documentation you had. He just handed it right back to you and said, sorry, it doesn't apply.
Yes.
The fact that...
He was relying on the new property management's report from their engineer, their management, their building management people, who supposedly said that because the building was more than 10 years old, that everything is grandfathered in. So I don't know as an attorney. I'm not an attorney, but I would have, just an individual, I would have taken the fact that I have a letter from the city saying that the building code is enforceable, as proof that, you know, those statements probably aren't true, and I would have tried to work through it.
So
that was in August, and we're still in the same situation.
So they hire an attorney. The attorney, just without even opening your documentation, turns over the...
In all fairness, he did actually pick the paper up, look at it for a couple of seconds, and then hand it right back to me.
You think he absorbed everything in there? Now they're refusing to accept your assessments, right?
Well, what happened is that in order to try to force an issue, I informed the management company that until they at least made an attempt to resolve this problem, that I wasn't going to pay my HOA dues anymore. It was after months and months of trying, it was the only recourse I had. Now, long story short, technically, people in Texas don't have that right, that legal right. So in the end, after they decided that they weren't going to, that the building code wasn't enforceable, the property manager sent me a letter, and she basically said that, you know, after discussing your issues, the board has decided no further action will be taken, with no explanation as to why no action was going to be taken to fix the floors. But then she, mentioned that you have an outstanding balance of this amount on your HOA account. You need to make payment or we will proceed with collections. Now, the number that she had written down didn't match my records, which showed what I needed. So I, replied with a letter asking her to clarify, what the total amount was due and to specify what particular, what it is that each item added up to. And it turns out that they're actually trying to charge me for a month that I had already paid. So I went down with my bank statement to show them that, it was paid, that particular month was paid, and she refused to look at it and said that she couldn't talk to me about anything anymore and that everything had to go through the attorney's office.
Oh, really?
The same attorney firm that is representing the HOA is mm-hmm. also acting as the collection agent.
Oh yeah, that's common. That's fairly common.
So anyways, by the time it got to, I explained to her that, you shouldn't have sent it out to collections. You didn't give me an opportunity to come down and pay the actual amount, and here's this billing error. And, from that point forward, they just refused to talk to me. What they're trying to do is make me pay for that month again, and on top of that, legal fees for the collection. And it's not just the standard, $79 or whatever they charge to send the collection letter. They actually tried to charge me for the attorney after the meeting that we had in which, the attorney tells me that the billing code doesn't apply. He says that he's going to send me a letter with all the information in it. And I told him not to, that I have a very good memory. I can, I remember everything. But a few days later, I got a letter in the mail. And at the very end of the letter, he stated that, by the way, the cost of this letter is $200. It's been added to your account. So when I've tried to make payments three or four different times, but I write the check out for the amount that I actually owe for dues, and I specify in the letter in the memo section that it may only be used for dues.
Good
it may
for
not
you.
Be used for anything else. Well, they sent it back to me, and they put in writing that I can only pay only the amount that the board says and nothing else, and that they won't accept anything else. So the reason I had sent it in originally is that it would have brought my account under the level in which the HOA has decided to send people up for collections to kind of give everyone some more time to resolve this. But they're refusing to cash the check, and the attorney has sent it back to me himself once. The property manager sent me back a different check, and now they've gone ahead and placed a lien on my home.
So they're threatening to foreclose.
Right. Which is interesting because in Texas there is a law that says homeowners associations may not foreclose on a an owner's home if the only reason, if his sole outstanding balance is unpaid fines. So if he refuses to pay a fine, you can't foreclose. Well, what the HOAs here have done and what our HOA did just a few months ago is they've adopted what they call a billing policy.
Right.
In which if you pay your HOA dues, they take that money and say, no, you didn't pay your HOA dues. We're taking this and we're going to pay your fines with it.
Right.
Now, by the way, you're late on your HOA dues, so right. We can now foreclose.
Right. And then we can add all the junk fees and we can add interest and late fees and attorney
right.
letters and threats and all of that. And every time you send in a check. Well, the reason, yeah, I mean, good for you for putting on the check, the face of the check, that this is for dues only. Because the Fair Debt Collections Practices Act says that they have to apply it to the assessment.
Well, it's frustrating, and this has all come about fairly recently. And, I mean, I actually do try to make a living for myself when I'm not, you know, leaving my place to avoid the noise. So it's frustrating to have to deal with so much time, but it's amazing that the attorney generals or whatever leg of government responsible for enacting laws, why they sit back and let people blatantly violate not only the spirit but the letter of the law as well.
Because they've decided that associations are civil matters and they're not going to get involved unless the industry decides they want certain laws enacted. I was in Richmond yesterday testifying against the bill, and you know, this is the second time I'd been down, third time for my friend who went down one other time, and every time they just show up. I mean, 2 weeks ago when we went down to testify against the bill, they said, oh, we've rolled in another bill and we've made some amendments, so here's an amended bill. They hand out a 98-page new bill right there.
Right.
And the legislators vote on it. They approve it. They haven't had a chance to see it, to read it. Same legislator did the same thing yesterday. She shows up and she says, oh, we've got an amended bill. Vote on it. Thank God for my senator who said, I can't vote on something I haven't read. So
well, you would think that that would make sense.
He's the only one who said it. So that's
my problem with the process is that attorneys are the ones who are making all these suggestions.
Right.
To find ways to try to bypass the law.
They're right.
Well, I don't know what the Bar Association Code of Ethics are in all states, but I'm pretty sure that it's a violation of your professional code to intentionally subvert the intent of the law, especially when that intent was designed to protect people.
They're rewriting the law. One of the things we objected to was the fact that the legislator included what she called a post-closing fee, and she said that management associations and managers could foreclose to collect a $50 post-closing fee. And we said, but, you know, transfer fees are illegal. And she says, yeah, well, some management companies were charging $500 and we just wanted to stop it. So why not just make it illegal? You know, they're not going to police them anymore to make sure they're sticking to $50 than they were when they were charging $500. So, I mean, it's ridiculous. You have the management companies, you have the Community Associations Institute over there just lobbying for this stuff, paying legislators, contributing to their campaign funds, and then writing the laws. they don't have to protect you. They have to make them rich.
Right.
And that's a big problem. But so what's going to happen now? What are your plans? You've got to leave the house for an hour. You can't do your work there because there's too much noise. The board adopts a regulation, rules and regulations saying that you have to have quiet time, but that doesn't include carpeting the halls upstairs, the unit upstairs above you.
Right. Well, I mean, the board here has enacted a huge list. It's a 28-page list of rules. I mean, some of the rules are specifically things like owners aren't allowed to congregate and discuss the HOA in negative ways.
You're kidding.
Homeowners are not allowed to contact the media. Homeowners are not allowed to circulate a petition if it is negative against the HOA or the board. So apparently First Amendment rights went out the window as well. I mean, they've made five or six rules they've just enacted that are specifically prohibited as a line item of things the board is not allowed to do. It's a line item in our declarations, and they passed the rules anyways.
I had an attorney from California call me up and tell me that the board said you couldn't say bad things about the management company, and the board president was going around eavesdropping on conversations, finding the members who dared to say anything negative about the choice. I thought this woman was absolutely nuts and crazy. Not the attorney, but the board member, the president who was doing this. But apparently it seems to be a little more commonplace if you say that yours is doing the same thing. They're adopting rules that say you cannot discuss the management company. You can't contact the media.
The board or the HOA in general. You can't contact the media in any way. You can't picket or protest. You can't hand out informational flyers or petitions. I mean, my approach, the one catch that I don't think most people understand is that as soon as a board member has a certain amount of immunity from being held liable for their decisions, but really, at least in our declarations, there's a specific requirement in that once the board member stops acting in the best interest of both the HOA and the homeowner, they're required to act in the best interest of both at all times, or they lose their freedom of liability. So, I mean, I've had an email discussion this morning with the board after last night's meeting in that they've crossed the line and they are clearly not acting in anyone's best interest. They're going to end up being held personally liable for any kind of damages or basically for their actions. And I think that once some of these homeowners get homeowner presidents and the people that are running these things, once they start losing their homes because they've been sued and they've lost everything because they've stepped outside the guidelines of the declarations, they're doing things they're clearly prohibited from doing, they need to be held liable for that. And I think once that starts happening, that some of these other people will fall into place and be less willing to, abuse the rights of everyone else.
It's unbelievable. It's really ridiculous.
But the thing people have to understand is that you're right. You can't, for somebody to go to the state capitol and try to get the law changed, that's just a ridiculous effort that, unless you have a lot of money, is never going to work. What you can change is your little part of the world. You can get your other homeowners together. You can vote out the president and whoever is causing the problems and undo all their changes. In my case, it takes 60 signatures to get a special meeting held together, and, I mean, that petition's already been written up.
But you can't go knocking on doors, and you can't congregate, and you can't talk to your neighbors, and you can't hand out flyers. So
they've kind of got. Well, you can get it signed, but that doesn't mean you can't get it signed.
No, I know. That's what I'm saying. It's just ridiculous. You're right, and I think
it is frustrating that they just blatantly they exceed their authority. They do things that they're strictly prohibited from doing. And unfortunately, most people don't pay enough attention until it's too late. I mean, I want to make sure that nobody here gets their home foreclosed on because of something like this.
You have in Texas, you've got Senator John Corona, who owns a million management companies across the country, including in Virginia as well. And he seems to be the only one writing the rules or deciding what the laws are in that govern HOAs in Texas. That, I think, is a huge problem for you guys.
Oh, I agree. And I have read, I think, a few articles on that. And I don't even want to know what goes on in that area. But again, I don't have the resources or the energy to try to fight someone like that. His own colleague should be putting a stop to him.
Yeah, it's bad news. Tommy, thank you so much for joining us today.
All right.
I really appreciate it. I appreciate hearing from you, and I appreciate you taking the time to talk to us. Good luck. Keep in touch.
I will. Thank you.
Thank you for joining us today. Please check out our website at onthecommons.us. That's onthecommons, all one word, .us. On the Commons is produced by OTC Multimedia Productions. Thanks again for joining us, and see you all next week.
Well, I finally bought my dream home to enjoy retirement life. I've made new friends and buddies, lots of parties for my wife. It seemed that life was perfect, all my neighbors felt the same. Then along came death by CCRs, life's over, I'm fair game. Those petty rules and regulations, it's enough to make you cry. They're full of woes, no pink flamingos, someone tell us why. Slick managers and lawyers slither close, but they won't tell why our dream home should remind us we bought a one-way ticket to hell. Now there's lots of open meetings close to justice for HO. Those arrogant board members say what they want you to know. The CAI and ULI will help you lose it all. But I wouldn't sell that dream home yet, the writing's on the wall. Those petty rules and regulations, it's enough to make you cry. They're full of woes, no pink flamingos, someone tell us why. Slick managers and lawyers slither close, but they won't tell why our dream home should remind us we bought a one-way ticket to hell. Well, we're not afraid or stupid, all your threats mean nothing here. Time marches on, soon you'll be gone, united we'll be there. So put your rules and CCRs up where the sun don't shine, and enjoy those precious golden years, stop messing around with mine. Those petty rules and regulations, it's enough to make you cry. They're full of woes, no pink flamingos, someone tell us why. Slick managers and lawyers slither close, but they won't tell why our dream home should remind us we bought a one-way ticket to hell. Why our dream home should remind us we bought a one-way ticket to hell.